Play. Kids love it. Brains need it. But people don't always understand it. Here to help explain it, your hosts, Keisha and Heather. They're knee-deep in play.
Last week, Keisha, Heather, and Stephanie were talking about napping. Here's the rest of that conversation.
And I think it's just, it goes to show, and I think it can kind of even leak into cleanup time. It goes to show that when you give them the power and the trust, they are capable, that they are definitely capable of listening to their own bodies. They're definitely capable of regulating themselves. And we don't want to, like you had mentioned, have a negative connotation with nap time or a negative connotation with feeding time or with cleanup time.
Right.
Stephanie, I need you to remind me, what is the youngest children you take?
We have 2 to 5 year olds. Right now, our youngest is 2.5. But we've had him since he was 2. So we get them as young as just turned 2.
Because when you were talking about the kinds of conversations you have around, if you're, I notice you're falling, I notice you're this. Some older toddlers I could see maybe discussing that, but
right.
Some younger toddlers I can't see having that kind of discussion. I can certainly see having that discussion with preschoolers, absolutely.
When you say toddlers, are you thinking 2-year-olds, Heather?
18 months to 36 months is toddlers for us. So 2.5, two and three quarters, depending on the individual child.
Right.
I could see having that conversation, but some kids, even at 2.5, that conversation I could see not really going.
Typically, my 2s are the first ones down because their bodies they don't even have to listen to their body. Their body's like, look, I'm tired. They will fall asleep in their food if they have to. So I don't usually have to have that conversation with the 2s. They are, it's pretty obvious to them that they're tired.
I would ditto that. I think those conversations do happen with the older kids more. The younger kids, they come in when they're tired more easily.
I would still have the conversation because it is good, regardless of the age, even with a 12-month-old, because first of all, they understand more than we think they do. Second of all, as they grow older, this is going to be something that they've heard before. That it's already going to be ingrained in them. Just as we talk to them when we're changing their diaper and tell them what we're going to do next, just as we read them stories, we should still have those conversations with them, just like we would with the older ones.
And let me give you an example of, so that little 2.5-year-old, he was here, he turned 2 last December, and he was here right away. And we started this, I think, in February. So maybe that's less than 8 months we've done it. Well, anyhow, so in February. So he was just over 2. And he just, out of habit for a long time, still went straight to nap. And it took him, I'd say a long time. It probably took him 3 to 4 weeks to pick up on that some kids weren't going straight to nap. And he would then, for a while, he would, some days go straight to nap and some days choose to go outside, and it was very short-lived. But he, ever since that time, he's always been self-regulated. Like he'll be playing outside and I'll just tell him, hey, your body looks tired. Let me know when you feel like it's tired and you're ready to go get a mat. And he'll just come and find me and say, Stephanie, I want to go get a mat for nap. I think because he did it when he was younger, because he was allowed to do it when he was younger, I'm curious to see how he grows when he's 4 and 5, how this carries over. Because the older kids, we started this just in February, and so this is a new thing to them. But for a child who's been doing it since he was 2, I'm curious to see if he still hits that resistance as he's older, or if it never becomes a power struggle because it's always something that he's had the ability to choose in,
Yep.
Why is it on these phone calls,
I always wind up being the time police. Why is that?
Yes, I knew you were going to say that.
Like, anyway, before I become the time police, because, I mean, we've really only touched upon food and nap, but I want to say that I have on other episodes spoken to Keisha about how I am fascinated and I thoroughly approve, not that anybody needs Heather Hansen Dunbar's approval or anything, but I thoroughly approve and I'm very fascinated by the ability to have a much more organic type of nap time option. And I have mm-hmm. said on the other episodes that we are going to try to figure out how dynamically to do that, or pardon me, logistically to do that in our program. Mm-hmm. We haven't tackled it yet, but it's definitely something mm-hmm. that I'm constantly percolating. And I mean, it as we said earlier, it's the more respectful thing. It is the more, right. you know, it's more individualized for children. So whenever we have an episode where anybody talks about it, whether it's Keisha or now that we're, you know, having guests on our show, woo, I just love it. I love the whole idea of it. I am currently still away. They've had a staff meeting while I was away because they decorated the center with mini mm-hmm. lights. Well, we don't officially celebrate Christmas. We do put up a lot of mini lights just to sort of, you know, make things mm-hmm. unofficially festive. So I didn't get to, you know, mm-hmm. bring it up at a staff meeting, but it's my plan. And I love hearing you talk about it, Stephanie, as well as having heard Keisha about it.
Let me tell you guys, I want to end on something about this because I have this is primarily my one key teacher who's been here for over 6 years, well, gosh, over 7 years, I guess, and myself, were the key ones in implementing this. But we have had several people come in, our substitutes, and we have a new teacher now, and also some different volunteers that have come in and have remarked specifically about nap time. One of, I think, the struggles in letting go of a scheduled nap time for providers is that rest that it provides the teachers, that quietness, that coveted, peaceful mm-hmm. state. But what I have gotten the remarks from these outside people who maybe aren't as committed to it as ourselves, is that this is so much more peaceful than yes. the old alternative. Because
what you're saying, be quiet, be still.
Right. Because the children, literally, they come in for their mat, and they're on a mission to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not regulated by any of us. We support them. We help them. Okay, what do you need to do next? Okay, you need to use the bathroom. Okay, what else do you need? I need books for my mat. Okay, choose some books you want to take on your mat. And it's a very just calm, peaceful, us supporting them situation. And it does end up, for us, most of the kids do sleep almost every day.
And it matches the rest of your day. It doesn't suddenly
right.
turn into this,
right.
you know, that's what I think made us change. We looked at each other and we were like, this is not discovery. Like, this does not match
right.
what we say we are. So we're going to stop.
Okay.
And we almost immediately stopped. And then we said, okay, so what are we going to do? We're not going to do that anymore. But what are we going to do? And let me not say we immediately stopped, because we definitely did try some other different things. But
mm-hmm.
When we made the decision that we were not going to have that style of nap anymore, that was the last day that we did it. That was it.
Right. So I guess that's just like my desire is to encourage people that it sounds daunting to let go of that that quiet time, but it really has been for us more peaceful, where because we're able to just enjoy the fact that the children, we're not facilitating the nap and having to keep on top of it. We're just supporting them. Does that make sense, Heather?
It does. My brain is, see, I just, I don't know. Like, I think I have to, like, sometimes when we actually, to be honest, anytime Keisha and I record an episode, it instantly for me feels like as soon as we get going that the miles aren't there, and that while we're not in the same room together, it feels like, you know, like we're gabbing over the phone or whatever, mm-hmm. and that it's not geographically like miles and miles apart. And I feel like I'm like really just gabbing with someone about things that I can really relate to. And so every time the nap time thing comes up, I suddenly want to not just be on the phone. I want to have the two of you, like, or just Keisha when it's Keisha and I, but obviously now the three of us in a room together, so I can be looking you guys in the eye and I can say, okay, right. like guys, I love it so much. I want to do it, but I need your brains because right. you have experienced it. Because for us with six classrooms mm-hmm. and a staff of 20 and all 20 women need their lunch breaks and, you know, there are only three support staff, myself, mm-hmm. the inclusion coordinator, and our cook. So if there are too many children awake, because we still have to legally meet ratios, mm-hmm. you know, like let's say there's a classroom of, I'm no longer the time police. I do need to glance because of the whole episode time thing. All right. So it's 34 minutes now. Anyway, so if we have like 24 preschoolers, And so there's three teachers for the 24 preschoolers. And so then mm-hmm. one of the teachers, like, we have to stagger the lunch breaks. We have to, mm-hmm. or they won't all get their lunch mm-hmm. breaks. So then if only six children are asleep out of the 24, we would still need mm-hmm. all three teachers there with them for ratio. Mm-hmm. So they might buzz down to the office or the kitchen, okay, can someone please come and help us because we have to take our lunch. Like when all of that starts coming into my head and I start thinking about mm-hmm. like, well, how would I ensure that they all still get their lunch breaks, and how would right. you know, the baby room, our infant room, needs people helping to rock babies and giving, you know, like those teachers still need their lunch breaks, and there's still only so many extra sets of hands. And
right.
And wouldn't I love to just have, you know, some people in the community who want to volunteer? But, you know, that's another episode because I can't find these
right.
people who I think for this.
Right. For now, you're talking a logistical nightmare, right?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think it's a whole nother set of crazy for a larger center to do this. I'm not saying it's impossible. I have some of the same struggles you have, Heather, with that. Not a large center, but I have more children than Stephanie does. And the logistical part is tricky, but I think that it can work. Maybe much harder for you, because for me to add an additional teacher to one room is doable. For you to add an additional teacher to five rooms is another, you know, it's a whole other ballpark.
Right.
So I think that this is a great conversation to be continued, as far as, like, I think it'd be cool if we could have a format somewhere online for people to join in, and because I know people are going to have questions about this and brainstorms about it.
We do. They can come to Child Care Bar and Grill, and we can continue the conversation there. Or they can come to, Heather, you want to say the address to the other option?
Well, the other option currently is down. Jeff has worked. Well, it's sort of, I believe it's completely down at the moment. There were some technical challenges with it. That's myplayvolution.com. So I'm not positive if it's been worked out yet. It might be worked out. I'll check with Jeff on that. I'm feeling a bit bad, a bit guilty about the fact that I know that sometimes when we talk and we refer people to Child Care Bar and Grill, I've certainly said in the past, oh, I'm going to put these things up on the page, and then I will apologize and say that I have forgotten. I have forgotten to put some things up on the page. Because I'm the same as you, Stephanie, thinking that, you know, I'd love to get people involved. And when my Playvolution is fully up and functioning, There are forums for each podcast because, of course, there are several podcasts now. And so there are forums for each one. And that would be awesome because then we could have a specific thread, you know, about, you know, mm-hmm. about what are your opinions on nap time. And there could even be a specific thread like help Heather figure it out.
mm-hmm. Right.
and so, like, for myself, I know, you know, oh, my gosh, I really am usually the Nazi, that's a terrible word to say. I was going to say the time Nazi, and that's awful to say, but I am usually the time police.
I'm thinking
about all kinds of, my brain's just going and going and going now about the idea of asking for people to become involved and give us ideas and really participate in the conversation. Keisha and I really want that a lot. And sometimes
right.
it's hard to do that. And I know with you, Stephanie, the response was overwhelming, that people so enjoyed listening to you. And
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's been great. And we didn't even get to discuss outside with you. we are going to also follow up with our series on home base by having our next guest is another home base guest. And Keisha's so excited to have
Melinda.
Yay!
Yes, Melinda Marshall. And her program is called Mountaintop. And she's going to talk to us about the aspect of doing it on your own and mm-hmm. some different tricks and ideas and ways that she manages everything. And we're going to talk to her on the next episode.
She does not have staff, correct?
She does not have staff. It's just
okay.
her and her group.
And then I should just throw this out that I'm super excited as well. I'm very excited about Melinda, but I'm also very excited that Michael Lehman, who most people know Bev Boz's program, Roseville Community Preschool. Michael is now the director. Bev is still part of the preschool. And that is a parent cooperative program. And so we do know, both of you know, several people who have work in parent cooperative programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so Michael has agreed to come onto our podcast and be a guest to talk with us about that different type of program as well. So I'm so excited about that too, because that's another thing that, you know, occasionally we'll have some parents come in and help out here and there, but nothing that's really organized and structured. So that's super exciting too. So, all right, we have to end, and we're going to be ending very abruptly because
thank you so much, Stephanie.
Yeah, yep. Thanks so much.
And sorry, Jeff,
back,
about
Stephanie.
Our time.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. I like this. It's fun. Well, we like
thank
having you. It's fun. It would be so nice if we were really together, having, you know, a nice hot beverage together, or maybe a
hop
cold
on a plane.
Fun.
I like my
alcohol cold.
Oh, okay. I was going to say something with a paper umbrella maybe instead of a hot beverage. Yeah. All right, guys. So thanks, everybody,
okay,
for
bye-bye.
Listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been Knee Deep in Play. Join us next week for another episode. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Are you itching to connect with Heather or Keisha? You can find them at the Child Care and Bar and Grill Facebook page or at playvolution.com. That's playvolution.com in the forum section under podcasts. Drop them a note. They're hoping to hear from you.